Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock, and we're going to go straight away to Maurice Fitzgerald. Good afternoon, Maurice.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Katie. How are you doing?
Maurice, you're disturbed.
Yeah, this crow, these crow bangers seem to be a huge problem in this country now. I'm listening to them going off throughout the summer. I think they really spoil the summer, and I don't think they work anyway, because the birds, they kind of come between the bangs, and I don't know why farmers are throwing away thousands on these crow bangers when all they're really good for is disturbing the community and disturbing people, really, at the end of the day.
Well, I'd say farmers might argue that one with you, but first of all, can you explain to me what a crow banger is? Because if you're not from down the country, you mightn't be familiar with them.
Essentially, it's a gas-powered device that makes a loud bang. And it's so loud now, I think they're so loud now, that they're essentially like a military cannon that go off every so often. I think they can bring them down to every 4 minutes or even less than 4 minutes. And they're actually as loud as a shotgun, or even louder now, because the tubes are getting longer and longer and longer. And I really think they're a problem, like for the community, because, you know, they can be heard from up to a mile away. As I say, I think they're quite ineffective at scaring away birds, because birds are fairly clever. Like, they'll just come back between the bangs. I think they're just really, really good at destroying the peace of the community, really. And I think they should be completely banned.
And you live near a farmer with a crow banger. Excuse me, do you?
Well, this is a very agricultural society. I mean, you know, you got growers and, you know, farmers, what have you. Like, I mean, you can actually hear them, like, unless you're living right in the city. You can hear these particular bangs going off. Like, as I said, it's quite disturbing, like, you know, for the community.
And how often, the crow banger that would be near you there, how often would it go off?
It would go off. You'd have four very, very low bangs. I think every 10 minutes you'd have that. But it can be brought down even shorter than that as well. I think we have a very, very big problem in this country at the moment with noise nuisance, whether it's these crow bangers, whether it's these house parties. I think it's time now for some very, very serious legislation when it comes to neighbourhood nuisance, private and public nuisance, and give the Gardaí as well more powers to go on private property and do what they have to do to shut down these very disturbing events, really, at the end of the day.
Well, I suppose we do have legislation. We do have environmental noise legislation on the statute books already. There's no suggestion that we don't. But neither is there any suggestion that these farmers are you know, breaking any legislation, breaking any laws with these.
Well, that could be debated. Like, I mean, people have to keep the peace. they really do have to keep the peace. And I just think from my own point of view that there are nuisance throughout the summertime. And I think we need to look a lot more carefully at what neighbours can do or cannot do. You know, if you can't go for a walk on a Sunday evening without some huge explosion going off right beside you, like, I mean, it's not really a good country to live in.
Does it stop at night time then?
No, it doesn't. They start early in the morning and they go right into the evening time. They go right up to 9 o'clock.
Are you woken by these crow bangers?
Well, you don't have to walk away. I mean, they are quite loud. You can hear them up to a mile away, like, so you don't have to walk near them at all.
No, but I'm saying, do they wake you from your sleep? Are they that loud?
No, and I'm lucky. I'm lucky. I mean, you get a start. Like, I usually go for a walk, and thank God I'm not living right alongside of one. But you know, I just go for my leisurely walks. But I can tell you, when they go off, you know, if you had any heart trouble, I think you'd be inside in the A&E department before you know it. I really think the government have to look at how low these crow bangers can go. There doesn't seem to be any legislation on the level of decibels, like, you know.
Yeah, well, I'd love to know if there's a farmer out there who uses one of these crow bangers. I'd love to hear from them, because there surely are some rules around, as you say, how loud can they be, how often can they go off, you know, do they have to be between certain hours, because, like any noise pollution, that there are rules and legislation and regulations around it. Do you, of course, they're used mainly by crop farmers, by cereal farmers, where I would have grown up now, there would be mostly dairy farms. And I don't have a memory of crow bangers being used by dairy farmers.
They're basically tillage farmers and growers. The growers now would be people who are just grow vegetables and lettuces and stuff like that. They're primarily used. They wouldn't be used by livestock farmers, generally speaking. The appeal must go out like that. That they are getting out of control, in my opinion, and they're going off way too often. They're far, far too loud. They're a lot louder than they were before, because the actual tubes are a lot longer. Before it was about, I mean, the tubes were the pipes, like, were that you know, the kind of the barrel of the gun essentially was about 2 or 3 feet long. Now it's up to 10 feet long, so they're extremely loud. Like,
okay.
And I think very, very, very disturbing.
Okay, Maurice, will you stay there, because I've got Robert Rowe on another line here. Robert, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
You're a farmer yourself.
I'm farming here, yes, in Enniskerry, and has done all my life, and my father before me and my grandfather, yes.
And do you have one of these crow bangers?
I do have, but I don't use it now because there's no need for it at the moment. And when I need it, I definitely use it, yes.
And have you had complaints about it?
Not really, no complaints. You just switch them on in the morning, daylight in the morning, you switch them off at 10 o'clock at night, and that's it. You can also get a timer on them if you require one, if you don't want to get up too early in the morning.
Were you listening to Maurice there talking about the
I just got the very end of it here, because I'm cutting grass here at the moment, and I just switched it on as he was just finishing up his conversation there with you.
Well, if I can just give a synopsis, he basically is saying that they're getting louder, they're getting more frequent, and they should be banned.
Well, I would like to ask him, what does the farmer do to keep the birds off his crop, that his livelihood? He's depending on his barley, wheat, and oats, and if the crows are coming in, or pigeons, or whatever birds is coming in, to destroy it on him, he has no alternative but to put a banger up, or scarecrows. But sometimes they don't work. The banger is the only thing that works.
Do you find them disturbing yourself, Robert, when you have to have them on?
Yes, they can be, yes, but not during the daytime. And early in the morning, the birds comes out at daylight in the morning, and that's the time you'd have to have them on. And they also go feeding at 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And would your crow banger be near your family home?
Well, it depends on the field and where you would have the crop. If you have a crop in a field beside the house, naturally you would have. But you find that the birds won't come too near the farmyard or house. They always go to the furthest point, that where it's nice and quiet, so they can level the crop. And like they can level an acre or two in the matter of a couple of days.
Really? That's what you're looking at if you don't have
that?
Well, let me put that to Maurice, if we still have Maurice on the line.
Yep.
Robert there saying he really has no choice. He has to defend the crop that's in the ground.
Well, we must balance the whole business of the community against the needs of a farmer. I don't think they're effective. I can see the birds coming back after the bangs are over. And in fact, I think what actually happens is the birds are attracted to these bangs because they say, well, there's something to protect here. So I think they're actually counterproductive. But again, the community's interest and the neighbourhood interest must be balanced against the farmer's interest, and I think they can find other ways of dealing with this particular issue. Scarecrows do work, passive scarecrows do work. But we cannot be listening to cannons, military cannons, essentially going off in fields as we're walking around the quiet countryside. I mean, there has to be some balance drawn there.
Robert?
Yes, well, the balance would be that gentleman says he does his day's work or his night, I think he's on night shift. And if he does his day's work, he gets his pay packet at the end of the week or the end of the month. But when the crows are coming in and damaging the crops, the farmer doesn't get any pay packet when he cuts that corn, when he was down to maybe a half a ton or a ton of corn to the acre instead of having 3 or 4 tons to the acre. It's his livelihood. He's depending on that. He's working the whole year to get that, to have that acre of ground or 2 acres of ground producing a crop for him. And that's his money. It's just the same as someone putting their hand in your pocket and taking your wages out of your pocket at the end of the week. What would you think of that?
That's so we have to put up with everything, so do we? We have to put up with everything. We have to put up with the bangs and all the rubbish and the silage. I mean, farms are fairly controversial places anyway. Do we have to put up with everything?
Excuse me there, all the rubbish. What do you mean by that?
We have to put up with the noise pollution of these cannons going off inside in the fields throughout the summertime.
Well, don't forget, where are you getting your food from? When you get up in the morning.
No,
it's coming from the land and it's coming from the farmer. And have a little bit of appreciation.
Well, people can grow their own food. People can grow their own food too, okay? And there's a new movement in this country, and intensive farming, I think, is the problem anyway. We got intensive farming at the moment, and we got intensive banging going on, and intensive stuff. And I think people are moving away from farming, to be perfectly honest with you. We don't need it. We don't need half the farming we have anyway.
Well, I disagree with you there, because there's a world shortage of food, and there's people dying by the minute. With hunger?
Yeah. What do you mean, Maurice? What do you mean by farms are very controversial anyway?
Well, you know, the slaughter of animals, you know, and the pollution into the environment, I don't necessarily think they're the way forward. I mean, people are looking to grow their own foods anyway, and I think that's a wonderful thing, and they should bring that back, you know, with people growing their own food, rather than this dependency on farmers, giving them massive subsidies and what have you. And, of course, we have to listen to these bangers throughout the summertime, and there's more and more of them there. It's like a war. There's like a war going off in the fields at the moment. You can hear a bang, 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 bang. You just can't enjoy the countryside. Like, you just can't. The government has to look at this whole business and the house parties as well and quieten down the bloody place, because, you know, we're just our society is just full of noise and things we really don't need.
Robert, do you have any sympathy for Maurice's point of view there that, it's a lot to ask your neighbours to put up with?
Yeah, to a pint there. If you went to the neighbour and asked them, could they do something about the banger? Maybe they could move the banger to the other end of the field or to another place or switch it off at night and on in the morning. If he cooperated with the farmer, I'd say he'd get on far better than getting on the radio and giving out about them.
Okay, well, stay with us, Robert. I want to go to Jonathan Cullen. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Your point, Jonathan.
Well, I think your caller there is quite obviously anti-farming and anti-agriculture. And I think some of his comments are way over the top. And I strenuously disagree with his comments in relation to the bangers, like, you know.
You're a farmer yourself, Jonathan.
Well, I'm from a farming background and I work in agriculture as well. And I work closely with farmers and indeed tillage farmers who, I suppose, are at the moment experiencing... Even, they're well aware there's going to be a bad harvest. And they have to do what they have to do in relation to try and get as much as they can from their crops. But I'm also aware that farmers do as much as they can to avoid, I suppose, noise pollution or air pollution. And, you know, even the new bangers, for instance, all come with timers. So the majority of farmers will use the timers to turn off their bangers at night time so as to... ease the disruption on their neighbours, and you know.
But what did farmers do before crow bangers were invented?
Well, I mean, the majority of farmers would have probably sat in their field all day and maybe all night as well with a shotgun to try and to prevent crows eating their crops.
And are crows that much of a menace?
Absolutely. I think crows can really be described as flying vermin. Really, you know, they are. Crows have no regard for anything about themselves, I suppose, and they will destroy. They could destroy a crop within hours.
Right. Okay. Stay there, Jonathan. I want to go to Anne. Anne, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
You're a farmer's daughter, Anne.
I'm a farmer's daughter, and I pity the farmer that man lives beside. If I actually question, does he even live beside a farmer? Because it's... What he's coming out with, I got cut off when I was on hold with you, but I just heard about him giving out about animals being slaughtered. Like, that's part of farming. If he doesn't want that to happen near him, and obviously he doesn't because if he lives beside a farm called Slaughterhouse, he should just move back to the city. Like, people, like, it's, farmers don't need the hassle. They're on the breadline. We've now had cap cut again, as per from the news today. We don't need people like him giving out about a banger that goes off for probably 2 weeks a year. It's turned off at night because otherwise he would be able to report to farmers to guards. And no, these are necessary things to keep the crows out of crops, to keep the farmer in livelihood. What does he want the farmer to do? Lie down and draw the dole or draw the farmer's dole? Like, what does he propose that the farmer that he lives near does for a living instead? I give up when to give up the crop.
Morris?
Well, are we to put up with the bangers throughout the summer and have absolutely no quality of life because some tax-cheating farmer
Morris.
Tax-cheating farmer. I'd like you to tell you, Morris, I'm actually an accountant. I deal with farmers on a daily basis. There is very, very few tax-cheating farmers because everything is linked. Most of their income comes from CAP. It's paid through the Farm Bank Culture. Farm Bank Culture talks to the revenue. When we put in their information onto an online ROS system, it is there. Every farmer pays their due.
Not true. They come up on the revenue defaulters list all the time. That's not true at all.
Not true.
Morris, a lot of people come up on the defaulters list, no doubt. I don't know what you do yourself, but perhaps people from your own profession turn up on the defaulters list as well. Is your issue with the crow banging?
The crow bangers, like, I mean, they really have to do something about those bloody crow bangers, they really do.
But is your issue with crow banging or with agriculture and farming in general?
I think we started off with the crow bangers and then others wanted to take it elsewhere.
You took it fairly far yourself, in fairness, Morris.
Well, there we go. We do have noise problems in our society and these house parties as well. I think the government need to come down on the crow bangers and these outrageous house parties and so we can live in a more peaceful society.
Morris,
I think that's
how long does the crow banging go on for? It would be 2 to 3 weeks maximum.
They can go on far longer than that, I can tell you that much.
But there would be no way a farmer would put it on for much longer than that because the only tax near ripening, and then unless there's really bad weather, it's then cut and brought to the dealer. So there is no way it would go back. Like, and does the farmer you live near turn it off at night?
I've got growers and I've got farmers and there's a civil war going on. Bang, bang, bang. It goes way late into the evening. That's what it does. I mean, it's a reasonable argument. You've got to do something about these crow bangers and these house parties and let's govern this country, okay? Let's live in a society where people have consideration for other people.
Yes, but the farmers need these crow bangers.
Well, we're not going putting up with an unlimited amount of noise coming from fields because farmers are overproducing anyway, okay? I mean, a lot of farm produce has to be thrown away anyway. So, you know, you're all overproducing and getting paid by the European Union to overproduce. Like, we don't need it.
Morris, I'm just wondering, have you had a conversation with your farmer neighbour in relation to this?
I haven't discussed it with any farmers.
Okay,
But it seems that they are not on at night time, so that would be against the regulations, from what I can gather from Anne.
Yeah, it is. It has to be turned off at 10. If they weren't,
ten o'clock. Did she say 10? There, did she 10 to 10 o'clock? Is it
10? It's between 9 and 10. I'm not 10. A guard, I'm not a solicitor. As I say, I'm an accountant, but I know from going up at home. We'd always turn them on between 8:30 and 10:00.
But so it's 8:00 in the morning all the way through, bang, 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 all the way through to 10 p.m. at night. That's quite a lot for the community and neighbours to tolerate, isn't it?
And would you accept that, you know, it could be a serious nuisance to somebody who would have to be living beside that?
Even when I go down on the farm, and like, you do, but the thing is, and this probably will sound stupid to Morris and to other people, is you do get used to it. Like when I lived on the farm...
No, you don't.
It's like the smells, it's like everything. You do get used to it, and it is only for 3 weeks of the year.
So you want us to ignore ourselves to it, so is it?
Well, I know from personal experience that when I'm down the farm, if I'm down there all weekend, I get used to the banging.
And the smell of the manure and all the other crap that comes off farms, we're supposed to tolerate everything. You know, farms are fairly controversial places. You know,
Why do you feel farms are controversial?
I pointed out one issue, which is the crow bangers. Then there's all the manure and the shit all over the roads.
But if your farm is putting manure and stuff on the roads, you can report them to the guards.
What we need is a farm inspectorate. That's what we need, okay?
Farms, as I say,
are controversial places. That's what they are. And they need to be regulated better, because there's a lot of people dying on farms as well, it has to be said. Quite a lot of people dying on farms. And you need your asses kicked on that one too as well. How many people do we have dying on farms? You need your asses kicked. That's what you need.
Morris.
Can I get in there, Katie?
Yeah, okay. Is that Robert?
Yeah, yep. I'd like to have a word with that gentleman, if you could class him as a gentleman, because he has no love whatsoever for the farmer, and you can see that from every word he says there online, that he has a grudge against the farmer. So I think the best thing for him to do is pack up and go into town.
This is a democracy, and we're going to have our say, and that's the end of it. Okay?
You're having the say against the wrong party.
Okay, do something about the crow bangers. Do something about the shit all over the world, all over the roads. Do something about your tax cheating, okay?
And do something about all the farm accidents that you're having at the moment. Have you got proof? Because that's what needs to happen. Have you got proof? You haven't got proof. And if you looked up your own tax at the end of the year, you possibly be cheating more than the farmer.
I don't need any proof that a crow banger is going off all over the bloody country. You need to sort out your bloody farm. That's what you need to do. This crow banger
is only the tin end of the wedge for you, because I tell you, you have a grudge against the farmer, and anyone out there can see that quite clearly.
Why don't you have respect for your neighbours? The farmers need a good kick up the arse. That's what they need.
Okay, Morris.
No, I think it's the other way around.
Morris.
You need a good kick up the arse, because all you're doing is anybody that complains about a farmer, there's a whole truckload of people comes on to fight for the farmer. Okay, that's what's going on.
Yeah, because they know where their bread and butter is coming from.
These are completely out of control.
Okay, can I just interrupt there 1 second, Robert? Thank you.
Okay.
And Morris, if I can just say to you, can you please not accuse anyone on the programme of tax cheating, or anyone generally, unless you can produce evidence? That would be very helpful.
I didn't actually accuse anybody. What I said is that they're popping up under the Falters list. That's perfectly legal to do so. That is a fact, okay? And I haven't mentioned anybody's name.
Can I get to that point that Robert was making there, though? Because it does seem that you do have a lot of issues around farmers generally, obviously, as you laid them out there for us.
Are you
living in the country, obviously, because these crow bangers are beside you?
This is Ireland. Like, I mean, this is an agricultural country. Like, I mean, there's agricultural issues around us all. There are farmers everywhere.
Well, most people are only a generation away from a farm. You're not of a farming background yourself.
I'm just
interested in where you got your views on farming and farmers from.
We've all grown up with farmers around us. I mean, this is an agricultural society that we're living in. I mean, we're entitled to our view about farmers. Like, I mean, I've been growing up with them all my life, and I think we've been more than tolerant.
Okay, more than talk. Okay, would you stay there, Morris, because I need to take a break, but I do want to keep this conversation going.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we're talking about crow bangers and farming and the issues that can raise for neighbours. I want to go to David now in Tipperary. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
You say that people don't actually realise the damage that birds can do to crops.
No, they don't, this time of year especially. Pigeons would be the worst of them, and crows as well. And you can only sympathise with whatever farmer has to live beside that man if he's causing any trouble or giving out about the banger, because it's a small price to pay for a farmer to be able to produce his product, you know, efficiently without losing half of it to unnecessary animals, basically.
You actually shoot crows for farmers in your own area?
Yeah, the odd time when it's very bad. If I get asked to do it, I do, yeah.
You're not a farmer yourself, David?
I'm not. No.
But you live in a farming community, obviously.
I do indeed, yes.
Can you see, though, that crow bangers could actually get in on somebody? You know, if it's not your problem, it's, you know, you're not a farmer, and yet you have to put up with, you know, serious noise for maybe several weeks of your summer.
I could, but, well, maybe, I don't know, because I would be somewhat educated on exactly the damage that they cause, and perhaps if people were and got out and saw firsthand what farmers are dealing with, they would be possibly a little bit more sympathetic towards a bit of noise for a few weeks.
And when you say the kind of damage, like what kind of damage are you talking about?
Just complete and utter loss of crop. I mean, like one of your listeners alluded to earlier on, he could lose an acre or 2 acres within a couple of days. Like, I mean, that's a livelihood, like. And it's just gone, crop completely destroyed, useless.
And I was asking there, before we had crow bangers, was it people like yourself standing in fields with shotguns, or...?
I don't know what they used to do years ago, but certainly for the last number of years, and that has been the case, if need be, if it's a very bad case.
And are we in peak crow banger season right now?
Yeah, I'd say nearly past the peak of it, possibly.
Right, well, that'll be good news tomorrow, at least.
Will
you stay there, Dave? I want to go to Rachel. Rachel, good afternoon.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I have
a solution for you, actually.
You have a solution. Okay.
I do, yeah.
Okay, we love people with solutions.
I think we're getting a bit contentious there, so this might calm the waters. I was up the burn there a few days ago, and in the Alloway Cave Centre, there's a Bird of Prey Centre beside us. And I was thinking that maybe as a solution that farmers could link in with these groups that are trying to reintroduce birds of prey into Ireland, and that would solve the crow problem, and it would also solve the noise pollution that's coming off it. Because listen to that man, the guy who was talking first on the show this afternoon, he's really irate, he's really upset, and I don't think maybe that farmers understand that noise is having such an impact on people who aren't linked to farming and living in the area. It's obviously really, really upsetting him. And I think that birds of prey to be introduced would be a win-win for everybody. It's great for our environment. It's great for tourism. And it's just a much better noise-free solution to this problem. And I'm surprised nobody else came up with it yet.
But when you hear there what David was explaining in terms of the like extraordinary damage that crows could do over a very short period of time if they were let at a crop, really could introduction of birds of prey deal with that? I mean, how...
Absolutely, really, they could. And the other thing that they could help as well with...
So you're saying that they'd basically take out the crows?
They would, absolutely. I presume you talk with these groups, they'd know the best birds to advise. You know, maybe would a red kite be too small? They might think of something else. There's buzzards have been introduced to Ireland. I know there's golden eagles down in Killarney. The only problem is that there's a lot of setting of bait, you know, for mice and rats. So there needs to be cooperation. There's no point introducing these birds if farmers and other organisations are then putting out bait. But wouldn't it be a great solution? Really good idea, I think.
I'm trying to imagine a scenario where the skies would be full of birds of prey rather than...
Well, wouldn't birds of prey...
That's the way it was.
...farm animals, Kate?
Yeah, sorry, Anne. Is that Anne?
Yes. Birds, as far as I know, some birds of prey would attack some of the animals on the farm. So you get rid of one problem and create another one.
Well, I don't know. Would you have cereal farmers right next to, I don't know, farmers, sheep farmers? I think it's totally different types of areas.
Where I'm from in the country, you would. Yeah.
Well, I would imagine that you would talk with that person, the groups that are bringing in the birds of prey. They'd be best able to advise.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got a field of hundreds of thousands of crows, and you have some kind of bird of prey, they're going to go for the crows rather than a couple of lambs somewhere up the other end of the field. Absolutely. I would imagine that's the solution. You know, I think it would be really, really good for the environment. And I do think farmers do need to step up to the plate, I think, with this whole idea of, you know, a greener Ireland. And this is one way of doing it, linking in with these organisations. You know, a lot of...
Oh, no, it is a good idea, but I I'm obviously a farmer's art. I don't farm,
yes.
But that would just be something that pop out to me would be that you know, it would attack the smaller animals like calves, lambs, sheep, you know, other things. So
yeah, but what they said was that this bird of prey centre is they go where the food is easiest. And I would imagine if they saw loads of crows, loads of birds down the field, they're going to go there because there's more food there for them. And I presume, I could be totally wrong, I'm not from a farming background. And would there be a problem with lambing at this time of the year?
No, but you could have a weak lamb, you see. Or you could have, you know, a yo down.
But that would be a different
or...
time of the year, I think. And at this point in the year, you might have calves, but they're too big. So the only thing you'd have to worry about possibly would be lambs, and that would be a different season.
Yeah, but where would the birds of prey go in the other season, Rachel?
What?
Sure, presumably the birds of prey would have to be around all year long.
Yeah, that. Oh yeah, you have a point there, all right, Katie. But I don't. I only
we
went
couldn't
to
retire
the
them.
They could. They could. They could fly back to their bird of prey centre. But I presume these are problems that haven't, been dealt with already by these groups introducing birds of prey. They must have solutions for these. All I know is I went to have a look at them last weekend, and they were saying they're fantastic for dealing with problems in relation to, like, birds and things like that.
Okay,
I think it's a good option.
Thank you for that, Rachel. We'll see if anyone else goes for that with us. I want to go to Mary in Kilkenny. Mary?
I just loved to talk to that man, Morris, in person, because I think he mustn't eat Irish vegetables. And the thing is, he thinks more about the birds than the people. And, you know, you have to make a living.
Are you a farmer yourself, Mary?
What?
Are you a farmer yourself?
Well, I'm retired, kind of, yeah. I'm a long time out of it now, yeah. But the thing is, he should go and live in Germany, and there wouldn't anyone tolerate listening to the likes of him. I mean, if he has a complaint, he should go to the police. If he thinks they're dirty in the road, all he has to do is go to the police, and they'll keep them in their place like they did the tenants in Cork.
So you say that basically farmers have to make a living and they should be left to do
it. Well, I think if he insulated his house and put in plugs in his ears, if he's that badly off that he can't sleep.
In the daytime. To be fair, Mary, why should somebody who has nothing to do with the farm or the income that farmer is getting out of it, why should they have to insulate their house against noise?
Well, it's to save the environment. Like, if you're the house insulated, you won't have to be buying fuel. They're supposed to be bad for the environment.
What about that idea about the birds of prey being introduced to attack the crows?
Well, you know, they probably were here years ago, only that they were attacking lambs and things, and that, you know, that's probably the reason why they got killed, or people like shooting. There's more people go out shooting.
Yeah, there wasn't much of a welcome for them at that time. Will you stay there, Mary? I want to go to Breed, because Breed, you live in the countryside and you also have an issue with these crow bangers.
I do. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, Katie. I just wanted to say that I don't think farmers realise the impact that the crow bangers have on people's health and well-being. I do have a sympathy with farmers. I know they're trying to protect their crops. But the noise of these is absolutely ferocious, and going off every 3 or 4 minutes right through the day. And the other point I'd like to make is that it has been said so far in the discussion that they don't go off at night, but that has not been my experience with crow bangers. I had a terrible summer last summer with these going off through the night, and certainly in the early hours of the morning from about 4 o'clock onwards.
Yeah, would they start that early at 4 in the morning?
Yeah, 4 o'clock, yeah. I was woken up every night at 4 o'clock for weeks.
Would you have approached the farmer that had that crow banger about that?
I didn't, to be honest with you, because in actual fact, I wasn't that near the crow banger. And I think that's probably the reason why I didn't approach the farmer, because I felt there were people before me. And I didn't really want, I suppose I wasn't brave enough, to be honest, to confront the farmer. But I did ring the council about it. And I was shocked to see that the legislation was so weak in this area. And really, he said, there's nothing you can do.
All right. Well, what did they tell you about the legislation?
They just said that it's very kind of subjective, that it's, you know, how do you define a nuisance? I was absolutely flabbergasted, because what I said was, well, if I had a house party every night, the guards would be out to the house. Like, what's the difference? But apparently there is. There has been no success in ever tackling this problem. When it's been raised with the council, nothing has ever been done about it. And people just seem to put up with it.
Well,
sorry, Katie. There is a gentleman's agreement between most farmers and most neighbours that they don't be put on at night. Like, I'd imagine if that woman did write a letter, she didn't want to confront the farmer and ask him not to put on at night, that they would. Like, there must be more neighbours in here.
But, Anne, you know yourself. You don't want to be antagonising a neighbour if you, you know.
I know. That's why I say write a letter. And, like, you know, you don't even have to say, like, I know in the past there's been other farmers around my parents that have left them on at night, and they have got a letter from a neighbour, and they have then toned it down. Now, they weren't too happy about it, but, like, as my parents say, everyone has to live together. And
but that's the point, isn't it? It's a tricky business when you're talking about a community, and there's some of them are farmers and some people aren't. And
the kids go to school together, and they play hurling together. So it has to be done on a, you know, nicely approach, I guess you call it. But, like, the guards, in the area I'm from in the country, the guards will come out if there is... I mean, you're on the road. If the farmers cut the hedges too early, if there's bangers going off after 10 o'clock, there is all that goes on in where I'm from. And, like, it should be going on in every county then.
Well, I think that's the point in a way, because it seems to vary from county council to county council. Some county councils seem to take it more seriously than others. But should there not be some sort of legislation on this? Should there not be some sort of guidelines, you know, after 10 o'clock or after 9 o'clock or whatever it is, or before 6 or 7 in the morning? I think if it was standardised and enforced and everybody knew where they stood, it might be better for people that we had some protection from the law.
I'm surprised that that's what you were told by the council, because I would have assumed that there would be, times where, as you say, where you wouldn't be allowed to have these bangers. And also you would have thought there'd be decibel levels written into
it. Absolutely. And I mean, as I was saying earlier, I mean, I don't think farmers realise the impact this can have on people's health and well-being. It really, if you're affected by this, it's just devastating for this noise every 3 or 4 minutes. Like, the vibration of it is so strong that even...
Every 3 or 4 minutes is too hot and much.
Yeah.
It really is. If it was every 3 or 4 minutes, the crows are obviously attacking the crop really intensely, and then they should get somebody, like, there was another man on who shot the crows for them. But, like, every 3 or 4 minutes every day,
it's funny you should say that, Anne, because I've got Trevor Wallace on another line. Trevor, good afternoon. Have I got Trevor there on that line? Oh, I've lost Trevor, but he actually does go and use a shotgun to disperse the crows for exactly that reason.
Yeah, because 3 or 4 minutes is too much. Like, you couldn't expect anyone to live within anyone living within a mile of that bang going off every 3 or 4 minutes.
Which that's what Maurice Fitzgerald. Maurice, are you still with us? Was your point.
He was saying 10 minutes. When he started, it was 10 minutes.
But ten minutes would be
farmer.
Yeah. But 10 minutes, even every 10 minutes, surely would be.
It's 6 times an hour by 10 hours, is 60 times a day. Yeah, it's a lot, and, like, that's why I have sympathy with the farmer, because obviously that's where my upbringing was. I have sympathy with the people, but I have sympathy with Lee. I'm not sure if I have too much sympathy with Maurice, because he has other issues with farmers, and I think it goes way beyond the crow banging. But, like, it is only for 3 weeks of the year.
Okay. I think I have Trevor back now. Have I? Trevor Wallace?
Hello.
Hi, Trevor.
How are you doing?
You didn't put out a crow banger.
No, and I didn't out of respect for my neighbours. And I don't shoot. I don't have a gun licence. Don't have a gun. I'll state that now. So I get lads with gun licences, guns, whatever they need to go shooting, and I let them at it. My neighbours reported me to the guards, and pretty much the armed response came out, detectives came out, everybody came out from the guards, fair play to them. I had a civilised light chat with them, and what they told me is that I have every right to shoot on my land, to shoot crows and everything else. And what they told me was to put out a crow banger to solve this problem of people shooting.
Hang on a second. Did you say you had the armed response unit out to the farm?
Yes, I did.
It has been quite the drama.
It was entertaining and fun.
And this was in response to a call from your neighbours?
Yeah.
And
my neighbours were upset that their dogs were, you know, afraid of the gunshot that the lads were down the field. And like I said, out of respect of all my neighbours in the immediate area, I didn't put out the crowbanger. I have one, and I didn't put it out. If I had put it out, I would have been the worst in the world in every household. So the lads will come, they might spend a day or a few hours when they can to shoot a few crows and try to eliminate the problem. But, like I said, the neighbours reported it. I went to my neighbours to have a civilised chat with them, and they pretty much ran me off their property. So, there you go.
Okay, so you had the armed response unit out.
Yep.
Was there a bit of drama at that moment? Did you understand what was happening?
Yeah, I did, Jeff. I understood exactly the problem. And all I could do was stand my ground and say, look, you can go talk to them and you can deal with them, you know, as with the complainants. And they said, no, we were called. We want to talk to you. So I explained to them the situation. I said, my crops are being devastated by crows and pigeons. And as I was standing there, you could see the crows circling the field. They pretty much said, well, you're well entitled to go down, shoot the crows on your property. Once you're, I think it's 100 yards or something like that from the properties. And what they told me was, go down and stick a crow banger in that. And that'll solve the problem of people shooting. And I said, well, I didn't out of respect for the neighbours. So, which is worse? Which is better?
And tell me, the way you went about tackling it, apart from this difficulty with your neighbours and the arms response unit unit turning up, does it work? As in, do you need the crow banger, or can you keep the crow population under control with this kind of sporadic shooting?
No, I can't. And I will ask somebody in the Department of Agriculture to put out a national cull on crows every year. We cannot keep on top of the crow problem in this country. There is not enough people shooting them. Crow bangers will only scare them from one field to another. They need to be culled. End of story.
Okay, stay there, Trevor, because I have somebody who is also shooting crows. Shane, good afternoon.
Hiya, how's it going?
You say that crows are rampant this year.
Yeah, well, with the lockdown and COVID-19, there's not as many people out shooting, or they couldn't get out to shoot. So there's more numbers.
And do you actually do this as a job, Shane, as pest control?
It's my hobby, but it's for farmers, it's free pest control for them. And it's a necessary service.
So you shoot, is it just crows, or what else would
crows,
you shoot?
Crows, pigeons, rabbits, whatever.
Right. So you have your gun and you offer your services to farmers for free?
Yeah.
And but you said this is a particularly bad year for it.
It's just with the lockdown, and it was just... it goes in cycles. If it's a good year for farmers the previous 2 or 3 years, well, it's going to be a good year for the crows and magpies and pigeons and all that. Because there's plenty of food. They have more young, they can rear more young. Follow on the next year, there's a bigger amount. They're nesting or they're rearing young. So they're out and they're decimating crop fields. And like what happens is, if the weather's a bit bad, it's a bit windy or heavy rain, it flattens a patch in the middle of the field. And it's no big deal. But then what happens is the crows and pigeons, they come in, they land into the flattened out patches, and then they start at the bottom of the crop, and they pull it or bend the stalk, and it brings the wheat or barley down to their level, and then they'll pull the heads off them, and then they'll just go along the edges the whole time, and then those circles will start out being just 2 or 3 metres, but 2 or 3 metres, and then it can end up being an acre, 2 acres, 3 acres, and I've been sent to some fields where it's like, it's not even worth the farmers' while now, really, putting this.
Katie, I'd just like to disagree. I'd just like to make a point there that I don't think it's decimating the entire fields, Katie. I think that's an exaggeration.
Hey,
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration there.
Okay.
It's a bit of an exaggeration there.
Sorry. Yeah, who, sorry, who's that? Who's saying that? Trevor. Yeah.
Don't have a clue. I have lost more acres than I probably harvested last year thanks to crows.
I don't agree, okay. I don't agree.
Come down to my field. and you don't see the harm that crows are doing to my fields. You don't have an iota about farming. You don't
have We must listen to the crow bangers going on all the time to suit that situation, is it? We must do that all the time, is it?
Did I put out a crow banger? No, I did not. I did that in interest of my neighbours, right? I did what you asked all of us to do. And what did it get me? Lost crop. So who is at fault there?
So what's your point, like?
Well, my point is, do I put out a crow banger and know the neighbours, or do I run at a loss?
That's garbled there, Katie. I didn't hear that.
Okay, well, can I just ask you, Maurice, how do you say you're such an expert in this that you know that no full crop would be destroyed by the crows?
Because they're not. You can see them, Katie. They're all right, you know. I mean, as I said, farmers are overproducing anyway, like, you know, so...
Farmers are not overproducing. Farmers are cut to the bone because they cannot produce enough for demand for co-ops and places like that. So, like, when you're saying... produce, you know, we're overproducing. When you're being paid peanuts for what you're producing, how do you make money? How do you live? How do you survive?
Well, I'll tell you, I think we have enough food in the world. I mean, we really do.
They're obese. So if we stopped farming for 5 years, right? Ireland as a whole stopped farming, right? So what do you do with the land? What do you do with imported food that's coming from Brazil? Imported food that's coming from Africa that they're able to use whatever they want to use on crops, on cereals, genetically modified food. Are you okay with all of that?
Is that what you want? What's your point is like?
Well, my point is you're dead set against the farmer trying to make a £2 or to have a quality of life that he can actually justify farming. Like, you go to most farmers now and you ask them, now, are you making money? Well, sure, I can live. That's about the height of what you want to get out of them.
Farmers are fairly wealthy people, like, from what we can see.
No. Farmers are asset rich. Penny poor.
Well, yes. Can I just say that saying anything generalizing like that is never really works, because obviously there are some wealthy farmers, but I think generally farm incomes are seen to be some of the lower incomes in the country.
I'd like to know what Maurice wants us to do as farmers. What would he like my parents to do instead of farming? Like, they have a decent sized farm.
There we go. Country.
Well, I think there's far too much farmland being given up to farmland anyway. We need more land for housing anyway. We just too many bloody farmers. That's the reality of it. And too many crow bangers.
Okay.
Katie, it's been great talking to you, and it's been great talking to all these people, and we really had an exhaustive conversation, and I hope we don't have any bad feelings. We've aired what we had to say, and I hope we can leave on a good note.
No, we can't, because you're a godsend.
We can't with that. No, I think we should. We've had
you're
a good discussion. I think we should leave on a good note. Well, I think we should. We've discussed it, haven't we?
Okay.
No, you want to do that? Okay, well, I can't do that.
I think it was just a wind-up call, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks very much for allowing me to make those points on your show. Thank you.
51551. Thank you all, and we'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.